You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. New from Moultrie Mobile, the Feed Hub offers first-of-its-kind cellular connection and control for nearly any spin cast feeder on the market. When used with the Moultrie Mobile app, you can monitor feed and battery levels, run feeders on demand, receive alerts when feeders are clogged, and remotely adjust feeding times. The Feed Hub is ideal for anyone who maintains feeders. Remove the guesswork and save time by planning feeder maintenance before you drive to your hunting property. For more information, visit MoultrieMobile.com.
Hey guys and gals, welcome to the Oklahoma Outdoors Podcast, brought to you by Arrowhead Land Company. Here you will be educated, entertained, and equipped to get more out of your outdoor experience. So hold on tight, because here we go. What is happening, folks? Welcome to the Oklahoma Outdoors Podcast. I am your host, John Hudspeth, and welcome to the show. We got a really good one today. We're covering some pretty important topics. There's been some legislation passed by the state of Oklahoma. I guess it was last week. I mentioned it on last week's show, but I wanted some time to kind of do some research, gather my thoughts on it, and I have done that. And so we are going to be covering all this new license structure this week on this episode. I also spent all weekend chasing hogs with some boys from Michigan and Ohio, some other guys from the Sportsman's Empire podcast. We're probably going to get to that towards the end of the episode. So like I said, we just have a jam-packed, really good show this week. So before we get into that, want to catch you guys up with what's been going on. As I said, I spent all weekend hog hunting, kind of relaxing, chilling. Well, I say relaxing. It was actually not relaxing at all. We were staying up all night long. We were gutting hogs and skinning hogs and singeing hogs with a torch and butchering hogs. And so I say relaxing. It wasn't necessarily relaxing, but it was a lot of fun and a nice little break from kind of the everyday hustle and bustle. So that was really cool. I also got a chance kind of after the guys left to run around and just kind of check on the ranch in general. I picked up a few cameras. I checked all my feeders and stuff like that. Topped off my protein feeder or feeders. One of them was stopped up, unstopped that. And just kind of got things ready for the spring and the summer, kind of the, you know, quote unquote off season. Like I said, just made sure the feeder pins were good, made sure that the protein feeders were topped off, checked on the food plots. Most of them were looking really, really good. Getting ready. I don't know if we'll talk about that today or not. It's almost time to get into spring food plot planting. Probably won't touch on that today, but my mind's, you know, already turning on that. So yeah, just a really, really good time at the ranch. Had a lot of fun with those guys. Like I said, we're going to get into that probably more towards the back half of this episode. Talk about all the hog hunting adventures. We did find some success, quite a bit of success actually. So that was a lot of fun. Taking some guys, let's see, I guess we had two returning guests and then one new guy. So anytime you can take a new, he's not a new hunter, but he'd never hunted hogs before. And so anytime you can kind of take him and let him, somebody experience hog hunting for their first time. And boy, did he get to experience it again. We'll get to that later. But yeah, so just had a really, really cool time with all the guys hanging out. And then as far as the upcoming weekends, I actually have a ton of stuff that kind of all conspired and came about kind of last minute. But so this coming weekend, I'm planning to head out and do some turkey hunting in West Texas at my buddy's place. And my plan shifted a little bit. My plan was to head out there Friday evening after work, you know, maybe try to roost some birds Friday evening and then hunt all day Saturday, probably come home Saturday night so I could, go to church with the wife and everything on Sunday. But I talked to my buddy, and he actually has some other guys headed out there, I think Thursday, Friday, and Saturday morning. And so basically the same plan just kind of shifted back a day. I'm going to head out there Saturday afternoon and hunt Sunday, and then probably come back. I say probably. I am going to come back Sunday evening. I need to be responsible and, you know, go to my job and hang out with my family and stuff. But yes, very much looking forward to getting out there and doing a little turkey hunting this weekend in West Texas. The following weekend, the weekend of the 20th, that is the hunt with the Oklahoma Outdoor Outreach Foundation, the hunt for disabled youth. And so I'll be out there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Always a good time. I did it last year. Had a really, really cool experience. Watched a young man get his first ever turkey. And gosh, it's life-changing what they do for these kids. It's not too late. If you want to help out with that hunt, man, come on, help in the kitchen, donate some money, or just, you know, be sure to help out next year. But really, really good opportunity. So I'll be doing that next weekend. And then the weekend after that, I was actually planning to give my poor wife a weekend off, meaning like I would stay home, let her do her thing. But the following weekend, like the first weekend of May, she actually has a couple events. And so she actually told me she would prefer me to go ahead and head to Nebraska that last weekend of April, because I have a turkey tag up there. You know, my sister lives up there. Y'all all know that by now, if you're a regular listener. So all that being said, the plan now is to hunt Texas this weekend, Oklahoma the following weekend, and then Nebraska the weekend after that, which is a heck of a lot. But that's just kind of, you know, with turkey populations being down, a lot of states are condensing their seasons, and that's just kind of how the cookie crumbled. So that's the plan. Texas, Oklahoma, Nebraska. That is a whole heck of a lot, but I'm very, very excited about it. You know, like I said, I'll probably only get to hunt one day in Texas, at least this weekend. Next weekend, I'll be in Oklahoma for 2.5-3 days, and then I'm honestly not sure what my plan is for Nebraska yet. I haven't gotten that far. I know my sister also wants to hunt. She just had her second baby, but her mother-in-law recently moved up there, so she's got some babysitters. She probably more than any of my other siblings, she likes to hunt, and especially turkey hunt. I don't think she's ever actually killed a turkey, but she's gone with me a couple times. We almost got her a bird several years ago. We were in a ground blind, and like I was sitting on the left. The turkey came from the right. I could see the bird clear as day. Nice big tom. I was telling her to shoot, but I didn't realize that it hadn't quite come into her, you know, point of view yet. And she ended up not getting a shot off, and it was like the sweetest but saddest thing ever. But anyway, so I think she wants to do some hunting. So I'm obviously, you know, kind of going for myself. But if she wants to hunt, awesome. If her husband wants to hunt, awesome. I'd love to just, you know, play guide also. So yeah, that was a long way of saying I have a lot coming up these next few weeks. After that, I think I'm pretty wide open. I'm going to try to, you know, hang out with the family a lot more. We'll be heading into summer at some point. Like I mentioned earlier, I want to get some spring plots done. But at this point, that's like kind of on the back burner. So we'll see what happens. But all right, let's go ahead and get into this week's episode. As I mentioned, a lot of stuff has just happened with, you know, Oklahoma and the license structure. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. After that, we're going to be covering the hog hunt from this last weekend. And so we have a nice full episode. So, all right, let's quit the intro. Let's go ahead and get into the episode. I already laid out what we're going to be talking about, so let's just get into it right now. All right, folks, let's go ahead and get into the meat and potatoes of this week's episode. So today, as I mentioned, we are covering all the new license structure that was passed last week, and it is named the Wildlife License Modernization Act. And so it was signed into place last week by the governor, so it is going to happen. I believe it takes effect July 1st of this year, so all this stuff is for this upcoming hunting season. So it lists here, I'm on the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife Conservation website, and it lists some of the highlights, and then we're going to kind of break it down piece by piece, talk about what it means, and cover the entire thing. So, but here are the highlights. I'm just going to go, you know, these are the bullet points. Just going to go down the list. So, consolidation of more than 50 current hunting and fishing licenses into 15, defining all youth as anyone younger than 18, whether resident or non-resident, creation of a single youth super license that will take the place of about 15 different types of youth hunting licenses, providing resident deer hunters one license for all deer they are allowed to harvest in a season, which previously was only offered to non-residents, increasing license costs for non-residents hunting deer and waterfowl in Oklahoma, adding the black bear hunting license to the privileges granted with the lifetime hunting and lifetime combination license. So there you go. Even if you are a lifetime hunting license holder and you think none of this applies to you because you're set for life, there you go. Right off the bat, there's a change for you too. So like I said, those were kind of the highlights, and we're going to go through and talk about, you know, what this means and the different costs and what this is going to mean for you this fall. So I believe I already mentioned that this goes into effect this year, July 1st. It was voted on. It was signed by the governor. So it's pretty much good to go at this point. So first off, one of the key things that was in this bill is that this is going to come up every 5 years. So every 5 years, it's going to come before the legislature, and they are going to be able to vote whether they want to keep licenses the same, cheaper, more expensive, whatever. And a lot of that, they are going off of the Consumer Price Index. And so basically, they're trying to make Oklahoma competitive with states around it. And I remember when I first started hunting out of state, I was very blown away by how expensive some of these other states were. And kind of looking from the outside in now, I was so blown away because of how cheap Oklahoma was. And so basically the whole point of this thing is to just catch Oklahoma up. I think it said in this article that a lot of these prices have not been touched since 2003. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but things just in general are a lot more expensive now than they were in 2003. And so another big reason for this, just getting this stuff more up to date, is Oklahoma gets almost 100% of its revenue from licenses. They get no tax revenue from the state. None of your sales tax or anything like that goes to, you know, your outdoor recreation. It's almost all hunting license sales and a few grants. And so while some of you may be like, oh, I have to pay, you know, $20 more or whatever for my hunting license this year and grumble, what they're able to do with all this money is going to vastly improve your outdoor experience. And so $20 a year for all the stuff that they're going to be able to improve, you know, your public lands, your boat docks, your lakes, your habitat improvement, all that stuff is what they're going to do with this money. So I want to make that very, very clear that all of this money is going to better improve the hunting and fishing in Oklahoma. So before everybody gets their panties in a wad, just know that it's for the greater good. I believe it said that they're expecting over $8 million per year in more revenue for the outdoor department to improve the hunting and fishing in this state. So I know many of you are curious about these prices. Let's go ahead and get into a few of the more basic ones first. So let's start off with fishing license. A fishing license is now, for a resident, moving from $24 to $30, so $6. And then a annual resident hunting license is moving from $24 to $35. So, you know, not too awful bad. If you want to go ahead and get the lifetime license, that is making a little bit of a jump from $775 to $1,024. So about less than $300 actually for the lifetime license, which is still very, very cheap, all things considered. If you're talking, you never have to buy another hunting, fishing license, tag, any of that ever again for, you know, basically $1,000, like that's a deal. And as I mentioned earlier, they are now adding the bear license, which was not included before, to the lifetime license. Which is really good news for me, because that's actually the last 2 years I had considered doing some bear hunting. But as y'all know, you know, you got to buy your bear license before the season starts, which I think is a fantastic idea. But like this last year, like I really wanted to do some bear hunting. But then as I was getting closer to deer season, which, you know, same opening day, bow season and bear season, I had that nice 10-point stone that was showing up, and so I didn't want to spend the money on the bear license when I thought I would probably be deer hunting and then not get to use it. And so now it's just included. So now I don't have to worry about that. I can go bear hunting. I can go deer hunting. If I shoot a deer opening day, I can then go bear hunting the next day, not have to worry about it. So that is one change that I am a huge, huge fan of. All right, let's go ahead and talk deer hunting, because I know that's what most of you want to hear anyway. So again, restructuring all this, they're changing it. It kind of seems like a price increase, but not necessarily. And we're talking resident license here first. So the old way, you had your $32 annual hunting license, and then you had $20 per deer tag. So if you bought all six tags that you're allowed, you're talking $152. Under the new way, or what they're changing it to, is it's now a flat rate of $72. So that gets you your license and all your deer tags. So basically, if you kill more than two deer, you're in the green. You're doing well. And most of you should be killing more than two deer anyway, because you need to kill some does. I'm including myself in that. We need to kill more does in Oklahoma. But anyway, so all that to say, like I said, it sounds a little bit more expensive. But again, before, it's really only like $20 more, and you can kill all the deer with that $72 license. I have thought it should be this way for a long time. I don't know why they did the per tag deal anyway. I think this could also help encourage people to shoot more does, because they don't have to go spend that extra $20. You get all your tags right from the get-go. If a doe walks out, you got the green light, you already have your tag, you're good to go. So I think this is a really, really good thing. Get out there, shoot some does. All right, here comes the big one. I think what most people are probably here to listen to, the out-of-state stuff for deer hunting. So beforehand, it's been $300. Now, as I always point out, that is $300 per weapon for non-residents. They are now raising that to $500. And then I'm not crystal clear on this, but from the way I read this, as I mentioned before, as a non-resident deer hunter, if you're just here to hunt deer, you don't have to buy a license plus all the deer stuff. You pay that $300 and you're good to hunt deer and all your tags and everything like that. The way I read this is that you now have to have the non-resident hunting license, which I think is $200. Oh, hold on just a second. I had it here. $208 on top of the $500 deer license. Now, I'm not positive on that. Like I said, I've been trying to research it and I can't find the definite answer. But from the way I read it, that's what I think. But nonetheless, I know a lot of people complain about like people having a lease here or out of state landowners or whatever. If you're going to hunt anything but deer, I know for a fact you have to have that anyway. So you're talking about people going from $300 for out of state hunting to now $708. So that is a very, very significant change. And like I said, I hate to say it for all the non-res people, but I am very for this, especially because of the fact that Oklahoma gives you two buck tags. I know a lot of people aren't killing $2, but I think just Oklahoma was too cheap before. I hate to say that. I just applied for Kansas. I think if I draw that license, I put in for the mule deer stamp also, which was like an additional $150. I think I'm going to be around $800 there. I went to Iowa last year. I think I paid $750, something like that. So just for the quality of hunting and the amount of public land and everything here, I think $300 was just flat out too cheap. So I know a lot of the non-resident people aren't going to like to hear that. But unfortunately, that's just kind of where things are in the hunting world today. And, I think Oklahoma, with so many other states also going to a point system or a limited amount of non-resident tags, I think Oklahoma was just getting hammered more and more every year with out-of-state hunters, because not only because it was so cheap, but just because it's unlimited. You know, like South Dakota went to a quota, Nebraska went to a quota. Obviously, you know, states like Kansas and Iowa and stuff have been doing the draw for a while now. So I hate it, but it was just time that Oklahoma had to do something to curve things a little bit. So yeah, that's probably the biggest change, is raising the out-of-state deer license. It mentioned in that little thing that I read earlier about waterfowl license. Obviously, the hunting license was raised a little bit, as I mentioned, from I think it was 175 up to 208. And then they are also raising the non-resident waterfowl stamp from, I believe, $20 to $30. So not too bad. But hey, every little bit helps. So yeah, that's one of the biggest changes for sure. One of the other biggest changes that I definitely want to point out, because I think it's one of the most important, is all the youth license stuff. And I think out of all the, simplifying, bringing together, all that stuff, I think they did more to the youth license than any of it, which I think is very, very important. So before this, youth, depending on what, you know, whether it was hunting, fishing, which species, all that, a youth could be under 16, under 18, under 21, under 13. Very, very confusing. And so the state got together and just defined youth as it should be, as 18 or under 18. So whether you're a resident, non-resident, doesn't matter. If you're under 18, whether it's hunting, fishing, whatever, you are now considered a youth. Nice and simple. A resident youth license is $25. A non-resident youth license is $75. One thing that I think is pretty cool is they basically did like a youth super combo. So think of like a, what you get with a lifetime license, but just for 1 year, and that's what they made. So it's $150. So you pay $150 for your kid January 1st, and they are good to go for the entire year, whether it's turkey, deer, fishing. I believe this includes all the tags and everything as well. So yeah, very, very awesome. Good to go. One thing that I did not see in all this literature that I really tried to find is the non-resident youth stuff. So currently, they have like a non-resident youth deer license. And just like the adults, it's per weapon. So if a youth wants to hunt with a bow, it's $100. If they want to hunt with a gun, it's another $100. I don't know if any of that is changing. I didn't read any of that in here. Personally, I would not like to raise those prices. That may be an unpopular opinion, but the fact of the matter is we need more kids out there in the outdoors. We need to grow this sport. And I don't want some poor kid to get left at home because he or she or their parents can't afford, you know, $800 or whatever for them to go shoot a deer. So I'm very, very much okay with leaving the non-resident deer licenses or any license for that matter lower. Big fan of that. So let's see here. What all? We've hit most of the highlights. Just checking my notes again. I think that pretty well covers it. So consolidation of license, youth is now under 18, the youth super license. We talked about how that when you buy your deer license now, it's going to come with all your tags, which I'm a big fan of. Increase in the cost of non-resident licenses and adding the black bear to the sportsman's combo or your lifetime combo, which again, huge fan of. So lots of good stuff here. I honestly have zero complaints with this. I know there's probably some old timers that are going to complain about having to pay a little bit more to go deer hunting, but again, like that's just kind of part of life. You know, the state of Oklahoma cannot manage its fish and wildlife on the same budget that it had in 2003. That's just not the way the world works. And these, you know, if you stretch this out over time, very, very micro adjustments for how much benefit we're going to get out of this. And so, like I said, bigger budget, they're going to be able to do more habitat work. We're talking more fish, we're talking more birds, more turkeys, more deer, hopefully even some more lands opened up. Just really, really good, much, much needed stuff. So I hope you guys are as big a fan of as I am of all these changes. I know a lot of people are really excited. I know a lot of residents are really excited about raising the non-resident license. I know a lot of non-residents are probably hating it. But again, to be able to come to a great state like Oklahoma, shoot 6 deer, including 2 bucks, like that is still a heck of a deal. So I don't think you guys should be complaining, but that's just me. Lifetime license holders, again, still pretty darn cheap. Now you get the bear license as well, which I'm a huge fan of. Hopefully that means you get some more bear hunters out there. I think that's something that a lot of people just haven't really taken advantage of in this state. I know they're still kind of, you know, hard to find and in secluded areas, but yeah, I'd love to see some more bear hunters. So yeah, all that to say, I am a huge fan of all these changes. And as I mentioned, part of this deal also is that they get together every 5 years. They talk about, you know, how the landscape has changed, how other states have changed, and they get to kind of just get like a freebie of getting to adjust these prices again. So hopefully they don't go crazy. I really don't see them doing that. But I think it's just beneficial for the state as a whole that they make some of these changes. So that's my license talk. Pretty short and sweet, but some very important topics. I'm going to shift gears now and get into this last weekend and the hog hunt. Super hard transition here. Let's talk about killing some hogs. So as many of you know, I am a part of the Sportsman's Empire, which is started by Dan Johnson out of Iowa. He has the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast, and he has since started the Sportsman's Empire podcast. Guys from all over the country, you know, we all have kind of our individual shows, and then we're brought together by the Empire. So, but, you know, most of the guys are from up north, you know, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Ohio, New York. Dan's in Iowa. I think somebody's in Wisconsin. There's so many of us now, it's hard to keep track. But I'm really the only, like, southern guy in the South who, you know, has access to hogs. And so I started it last year. You know, we had one of our kind of like biannual meetings, and I just threw it out there. I was like, hey, anybody who wants to come down and hunt some hogs with me, you are officially invited. So did it for the first time last year, had 3 guys down last year. It turned out great. We killed 7 hogs last year. This year, same thing. Had 2 repeat customers in Andrew and Nick. And then we had 1 new guy from the Michigan Wild podcast, Mr. Nate. I had 3 guys down. I, you know, kind of did some prep beforehand, which by prep, basically, you know, I had all my feeders going and I basically just opened up the fences. So I have basically 5 feeders going on our property. 4 of them are fenced. 1 of them is not. I've talked about it on here. I purposely keep 1 of them unfenced to attract the hogs to that location. I call it my sacrificial feeder, and I'm trying to let the hogs have that one so I keep them off my other spots. And this, it actually has worked pretty well over the last 2 years. But when these guys come down, go ahead, open up the fences, and just let the hogs in. I'm trying to bring as many hogs in as possible. And then usually springtime is just when we have the most hogs anyway, because, you know, we're feeding our calves. You know, everything's greening up. We just tend to have a lot of hogs in the spring. Like I said, open up the fences. And what I do when I open these fences, I came up with this myself. Again, I have panels around all these feeders. And instead of just opening the gate wide open, what I do is I open that gate about 18 inches. And I drive a T-post in the ground, and I wire that gate there, and then I wire the T-post together. So I basically make a little door. And these guys ended up nicknaming it the Death Door. And I do that, and I do this about a month in advance. I did it several weeks ago. And so those hogs, you know, a lot of times they smell that corn, they come up, and they just circle that pen looking for an opening. Well, I give them an opening, and pigs are smart, and they very quickly learn where that opening is. And I basically condition these things to where they know where that opening is. They'll come in, and you can get, it's almost like a hog trap, but without the trap door, and you can get these whole sounders of pigs inside the fence at once. And then once you start shooting, the only way for them to get out is to go through that little door. So Had a couple locations set up like that. I also just went around, you know, poured some random bags in and out. And then, like I said, we're in hog territory, so we just have hogs anyway. So I have one thermal scope. I also picked up, or actually my buddy Randy let me borrow a handheld thermal. And then one of the guys who came down, he has a thermal that he uses for coyote hunting. And he just this year picked up a handheld. So we had enough thermals for everybody, which was pretty cool. And then I think I mentioned it on here that about 2 months ago, I bought a side-by-side. So I had my Ranger ready to go, and I put a red light on that Ranger. Instead of having a normal LED bar, I put a red one on there just to help, you know, with the whole, you know, just animals can't see red. Most people who hunt at night know that. So the stage was set. Nick and Nate were both from Michigan, and so they ended up actually riding down together. Andrew is from Ohio, so he came separately. And Nick and Nate, I don't know how these guys, I should say, start this off this way. I don't know how these guys did this. They did not sleep at all. So Nick and Nate, they left, I guess it would have been Wednesday night, drove all night long. They actually beat me to the ranch because I thought they were going to stop for a little bit. So they got there, they got in at like 10:30 or something on Thursday. I ended up getting there about noon. And then Andrew came in, I think he got there about 6:37, something like that. So they got in, took a very, very short nap. I think Nate only slept like 30 minutes or something like that. He was too excited. So basically the plan was we were going to sit feeders during the evening, and then we were going to hunt with, you know, thermals at night. And we'd kind of said, because they were all traveling stuff, like that first night, we weren't going to go super hard. They needed some sleep. And so I went and actually set, Nick and Nate in the same stand because I had one spot where like a big group had been coming in almost every evening. They were a little wishy-washy on whether they were going to be there in daylight. But it was a big group. And so I thought it'd be good to have two people there. But there had been a couple boars coming in daylight. And then, like I said, there was a big sounder coming in kind of right on the verge. So I went, set them up. I went and kind of scattered around, checked some cameras and stuff. And then I went back to the house to pick Andrew up, who came in a little later. So get back, pick Andrew up. He throws the stuff in the house. He wants to sit that evening too. So we rush out there and head for a blind, get in with like 45 minutes, something like that. I checked the camera later. We actually just barely missed a hog. He had already been there by the time we got there. But anyway, so we're sitting in our blind. Things are getting dark, and we actually head out. It's time to go pick him up, and we hear a shot. And so super excited. Nate, who, again, was the new guy, never killed a hog before. The big group didn't come in, but a nice big boar came in and was actually trying to win them, get downwind, and he shot it free-handed out of the blind. It was pretty close. It was like 30, 40 yards, but a good shot. So unfortunately, the big group didn't come in, but they, you know, Nate got one. The other two guys had killed one the year before, so that was nice. So good start. I think we did like one round with the thermal that evening, but not a lot. Again, these guys were exhausted. Andrew had woke up at like 4 a.m. to head down. So we just went back to the house and got to bed pretty early that evening. So next day we wake up and, just kind of got to hang out a little bit. We went to town, got some food, got some groceries, and just hung out a little bit. We ended up not keeping, Nate's boar. It was a big one, and they decided it wasn't, you know, the type that they wanted to eat. And I should throw that out there that these guys, like, their goal was to take back some meat. I should also probably throw their podcast out there. So, man, all these names and podcasts. So, you got Nick Otto, and he has the Huntivore podcast, which is like an outdoor, you know, wild game cooking podcast. So he definitely wanted to take back some meat. And then you had Nate. I always get his last name wrong. It's like Roosevelt, something like that. He's with the Michigan Wild podcast. And then you have Andrew Muntz with the O2 podcast out of Ohio. Quick shout out to all those guys and their shows. So it's Friday, you know, they're kind of getting rested up. We got everything set, and we head out early. We decided to all I believe we all, we all split up that evening. And so there was one spot that I had not gotten a chance to check the camera. And so since Nate had already gotten one, we sent Nate to that spot. And then I put Andrew and Nick in two spots that I'd had cell cams running, very consistent hog activity. And I was like, all right, these guys are going to be in the spot. Nate, I hope you get some. Like I was pretty sure there were hogs there because there was no corn on the ground, but I just couldn't guarantee it. And then I actually went to where they had shot the hog the previous evening because they had seen a bunch of coyotes. And so I was actually going there. I took my 308 and I was just going to try to kill some coyotes. And so we're sitting there. We all got in about 4:30, 4:45. Feeders went off at 5, but it's getting pretty warm, so nothing's really happening. And, you know, we're all getting anxious and stuff. Nothing's going down. And I was getting ready because I was a good ways away from them. So I was actually getting ready to climb down and go start picking them up. And I just so happened to look to the south and I see a hog right there on the fence line. And I was almost a little disappointed because, like, I did not go to the, like, I was not intending for me to kill a hog. I was planning to let all of them do the shooting. But I know they wanted hogs to take home for the meat and everything. And so I went ahead and I shot the boar. Nothing too exciting. One shot down. He was probably, I don't know, 70 yards. So it wasn't like a hard shot or anything like that. So I shoot the hog. Cool. And I decided to go ahead and get the Ranger. I'm going to try to get it loaded up by myself. So I'm walking to the Ranger. And out of the silence, you know, it's right at dark. I just hear pop, 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 pop. And I'm like, yes. So I start, you know, I'm texting the group chat. I was like, who is it? You know, what's going on? And sure enough, of course, it's Mr. Good Old Lucky Man himself, Nate. So not only did he get the big boar the night before, but he got to see the death door in person. He had a huge group coming to his spot. I forgot to mention, when I dropped him off, I have like a ground blind there, one of those Kraveman round poly blinds that I was going to put him in. But we opened the door, and there wasn't a chair in there. There was just a 5-gallon bucket. I forgot to put a chair in there. And I kid you not, there was a fire ant bed the size of a beach ball. Like, it took up almost half this blind, just one giant fire ant bed. And so obviously he was not going to sit in there. So he actually ended up climbing up into my bow stand in this spot. And so he was like 20 yards away. So just timed out perfectly. He had his GoPro. He's got some footage of it. Really cool video. So he got to hammer down. He ended up, we found 5. He's pretty sure he hit a couple more, but we found 5. So Nate was just having the time of his life. He's 6 hogs deep. Nobody, I guess I got one, but none of the other guys had one or killed one. So he's excited. You know, Nick's excited because he's got some meat. And so I go around, pick all the guys up. You know, by the time I pick everybody up and we kind of look at the hogs a little bit, it's like 8:30, 8:45. We haven't had dinner. And again, they want to keep these pigs. So we decide to run to town real quick before everything closes and then come back and process them. So we run to town, eat some Brahms, which I thought was awesome. They just thought it was delicious. They love Brahms. We got some ice cream and everything. We head back, and in the spot that where he'd killed all these pigs, you can't get a pickup to it. And so we had taken the Ranger and my pickup, and we ended up having to, like, load these pigs one or two at a time because he killed some pretty big ones. So we're having to, like, load these pigs in the back of the Ranger, drive them to where we can get the pickup to, unload them. Nick goes ahead and starts cutting them up. I'm, like, making laps in the Ranger. I think it took us 3 trips because, we had unloaded my hog there so we could take a picture of them, you know, all together. So we finally get all the hogs loaded, get them across the creek. We all go into gutting mode, and we cleaned all, but the hog I shot was a pretty big boar, so we ended up not cleaning it. But we cleaned the other 5 that Nate had killed. So by the time we get them, you know, cut up, loaded into the truck, back to the house, all that stuff, it's literally midnight before we even get to start hunting. But again, this was like the night that we had planned, you know, to go hard. And so we're ready. We're fueled up. We had Red Bulls and all that stuff. So we get in the Ranger, start doing laps. And there are just no hogs to be found. Like, we're doing lap after lap. We're using thermals. We're using the red spotlight. And we just can't find anything. We saw a couple coyotes, but no hogs. And so driving around, and I mean, this is hours. So finally, it's like 3:30 a.m. I can tell the guys are getting tired. I'm getting pretty whooped. And so we kind of, go by the truck. And I'm like, all right, what do you guys think? You ready to call it in? You ready to not? And old Nick speaks up, and he's like, one more lap. So I was like, all right. So we head south, we head north, we go through gates, and we get to the very back of the property, so like basically the last pasture, and Nate actually spotted it. He starts tapping. He's like, hey, I think I got something. And these guys are pretty new to the thermal game. And so, hate to say, I know they're listening to this, but it was hard for me to trust what they said they were seeing. Because they stopped for a lot of armadillos. They stopped for a lot of skunks, a few deer and stuff. And so, usually I was kind of having to check their work. But he's like, man, this has to be a hog. So, I grabbed the thermal look at. Sure enough, it's a big boar. I can tell. Oddly enough, we're pretty close to where we had already killed those two boars from that stand. We're probably, 300 yards from there. And so it's late. So we all get out. I'm walking them up there kind of, because this is the first hog we had found at night. All the other hogs are in the daytime. So I'm kind of coaching them through. We're getting closer. The wind is perfect. We're going right at this thing. We get to roughly 75 yards. It's really hard to judge distance with a thermal. Nick is on the gun. He's got my 308 with thermal on it, bipod and everything like that. And I give him the green light. Thing's perfectly broadside. He fires. Boom. Hog down. Perfect shot. Does not take a step. So we're celebrating, and we get up there and stuff, and it's a nice big boar. Awesome. And I kind of look at Nick. I was like, you want to keep it, or we're going to drag this one off? He's like, oh, we're keeping it, because this is the first hog that Nick had actually killed. I was like, all right. And so I walked back and got the Ranger, pulled it up there. So it's 4:20 a.m., and we're sitting there out in the middle of the pasture gutting this hog, get this big boar, get it gutted, cleaned out and everything, get it loaded. We ride back to the truck and add it to the pile of hogs we already got back there. And by the time we get all the guns unloaded, put away, get back to the house. I think I went to bed at 6 a.m. that morning. And so I fall asleep. I wake up about noon, something like that. And I knew Nick and Nate were like go-getters, and obviously they wanted to keep the meat. It was going to get pretty warm. So I had a feeling that they were already, going to be at work by the time I woke up. So get up, walk outside. Sure enough, they got a hog, strung up and burned, and they're cutting it up. And I was like, man, like, how long have y'all been at this? Dadgum Nate had woke, like I said, we went to bed like 5:36. He had woken up at 8 o'clock, already been to the store to get ice and supplies, stuff like that. Nick had woke up at 10, I think. He had brought a propane torch. So they're singeing the hair off these hogs, scraping them, butchering them, cutting them up. They were on their second big sow. A lot of these pigs are around 200 pounds. Like, they were huge. So they were most of the way done with the second big sow by the time I got out there. And then, so I jump in. Andrew wakes up not long after I do. And so we just get to work. So I think we cleaned six. I think we had two smaller ones, three nice sows, and then one big boar. We're working for hours. And finally, about 2:30 comes around. They're working on the two smaller hogs. I was like, hey, I'll go inside and start cooking, because we hadn't eaten anything today. So Nick had brought, he had actually brought some bacon that he made from one of the hogs from last year. I had some deer sausage, and we'd bought some eggs and biscuits. So I go inside, start cooking. We finally sit down to eat at like 3. We get done eating about 3:30. We're kind of sitting around the table talking. And I was like, all right, guys. I was like, last night, and they were planning to leave early the next morning. I was like, I'll do, this is y'all's trip. I'll do whatever y'all want to do. So if y'all want to hunt, we'll hunt. If y'all want to relax, we'll relax. We can do whatever. And they all kind of, talk amongst themselves. And they finally decide that, hey, let's just take it easy that evening, you know, maybe get some pizza, something like that. And then maybe once it gets dark, go do like one lap with the thermal and get to bed early. So I was like, all right, that's fine by me. And so Nick goes and hits the shower, and we're just kind of sitting there talking, cleaning up after eating, you know, very late lunch. And Andrew, you know, he's the only one that hasn't killed one this trip so far. And he's like, you know, John, he's like, would you mind going over there and dropping me off in a blind and I'll just hunt this evening, you know, by myself? I was like, yeah, you know, I can do that. Well, Nate hears this and he's like, you know, if Andrew's going, he's like, I might go too. Like, we're here, might as well go. So I was like, all right. So I look at my watch and I was like, if we're going to go, we got to leave in like 20 minutes. And they're like, okay, deal. So they start running around. I'm kind of like trying to switch from, you know, night mode to daytime, getting, you know, guns ready and putting up thermals and everything. Nick gets out of the shower. He's kind of like, what's going on? I was like, hey, they want to go hunt this evening. And he's like, well, if they're going, I'm going. So we start running around. Sure enough, we get back out there for the evening. Andrew and Nick hunted together at one of the spots that, you know, nothing had showed up, hadn't been disturbed. I put Nate at one of the other spots that, you know, hadn't been disturbed. I ended up actually going up the hill to kind of my back area, hoping, again, to shoot a coyote just because I need some of those dead. So, again, evening was very quiet. I didn't see anything. Nate didn't see anything. Nick and Andrew hadn't seen anything. They actually had some cows that had like gotten through the creek and through the fence and were there when they shouldn't be. So once again, I've kind of like given up. You know, we do like a 3-hour sit. I'm walking to the ranger. Actually, I start the ranger and start heading down the hill to pick them up. And I feel my phone buzz, pull my phone out of the pocket. And it's a text from Nick saying, boar headed our way. And so I stop where I'm at, shut the ranger off. And unbeknownst to me, they had, like, I guess I got the text late. They had already done some shooting. So I sit there for a minute, don't hear anything. And I text him back, like, you know, anything. And Nick sends a message that says, like, bore down, thought he was doing death roll, ran off. Like, real quick, short text like that. I'm like, I don't know what they're saying. So I ask him, like, ran off as in got away, and don't get an answer. So eventually I just start the ranger, go ahead, pick up Nate, who hadn't seen anything, unfortunately, and we get back and we get to them. And if they didn't have this on video, I would not have believed them. It was the craziest thing I'd ever seen. So they were sitting there, had some cows around them, but I had told them ahead of time. I was like, hogs don't really care about cows like deer do. Like, hogs will still come in. This boar came out of the creek, came through the death door, was there at the feeder. This feeder's only like 15 yards from the blind, so I mean, it's right there on top of him. Andrew has his gun out. He's shooting a 6.5 Creedmoor AR, and he shoots, and this hog just drops. I mean, sprawls down on the ground in the dirt, kicking its legs and everything down. Again, they're filming this whole thing. So they're celebrating, yo, yeah, buddy. And then all of a sudden, this hog like gets up and starts walking. And it gets up and it runs into the feeder pen. You know, it's kind of discombobulated. And poor Nick, he's like, hey, like, he's good. He's going to die. He blah, blah. And Andrew's like, you know, should I hit him again? And they're just both kind of sitting there. And then the hog starts heading for the door. And about that time, they both realize, like, hey, we need to put another round in this thing. Well, poor Andrew goes, pulls up, and tries to shoot again, and his gun has jammed, which it had not done all weekend. Again, it's an AR platform. He'd been shooting multiple times, hadn't jammed, and so it's jammed. So the hog makes it out the door and starts running towards the wood. Finally, Nick drops the camera, picks up his gun, his AR, and starts shooting. And you can hear on the video, like, he shoots, and you hear that, whap, shoots again, whap, shoots again, whap, shoots again, whap. 4 times he shoots and hits this hog, and it just keeps on trucking. I guess its adrenaline was just up. I don't know. You know, he was probably shooting it in the butt or something at this point as it was going away. But yeah, Andrew shot it in the head. Nick shot it somewhere 4 different times, and this hog got away. I came. We had flashlights. We had thermals. We found zero blood. We looked with thermals, found zero heat. It made it to the brush, and this hog got away. Like, I still at this moment have no idea. Again, if they wouldn't have filmed it, I'm not sure I would have believed them. I mean, this hog was dead to rights in the dirt. Just Lazarus got back up and ran off. So that, unfortunately, was the ending to the trip. We did make a lap with the thermal, but didn't find anything else. So poor Andrew went home empty-handed. He did kill one the year before, though, so, you know, it's okay. So, yeah, like I said, all in all, we killed 8, which was, you know, one up from the year before, so that was awesome. They had a heck of a time. I enjoyed it. Like, it's so cool because, again, we're all from, you know, we had 4 people, 3 different states, but we were all brought together by hunting. And, you know, all weekend we're talking about, you know, the different states, the rules, the regs, the terrain, what one state does good, what one state does bad. You know, it's so interesting talking, like Nick has very little experience with a rifle because the part of Michigan he's from, they're not allowed to use rifles. He hunts with a bow or he hunts with a shotgun. Nate was also from Michigan, but he hunts more northern Michigan, so he's allowed to use like straight wall cartridge rifles. So he brought like a 450 Bushmaster, which is insane. I had never seen one of those things before. So yeah, so that was really cool. And then, you know, you got Andrew from Ohio, which they get a lot of out-of-state hunters there. He hunts with a bow. He hunts a lot of like small prop. Like he hunts one place that's like 3 acres, which is pretty crazy. And then, yeah, again, you know, I'm getting to share Oklahoma with them. Hogs, rifle hunting, muzzleloader hunting, deer hunting. So, yeah, like I said, just a really, really cool experience. But we had a fantastic time, hoping to do it again for many years to come. Hopefully some more guys will come next year from the Empire, from different states, because I love getting to share this state with people. So yeah, I think that's probably going to do it for this week. Man, lots of random topics this week. So we got the new license structure. We got hog hunting. We got hunting in other states. Oh, one other thing I almost forgot. I know this is, again, super random. Well, first off, it's controlled hunt season, so be sure to apply for hunts. But they've made some changes within the controlled hunts, so make sure you're looking for those. You can buy an extra preference points for elk, and then also you can have more choices if you're willing to pay for it. So I think for deer, like normally you get 5 choices. You can do more choices, but I think it costs like $3 per choice. So yeah, last minute entry there, but I wanted to throw that out there. So, all right. I feel like I'm rambling now, so I'm going to go ahead and shut this down. But really good episode. Thank you guys for listening. I really appreciate it. And until next week, I will see y'all right back here on the Oklahoma Outdoors Podcast.